Welcome to my show, Get Grounded with Lisa, where we will get grounded for the next half hour, mind, body, and soul. Wow, I can't believe it's already November. Happy November. Today is November 5th. I hope everybody's enjoying this extra hour that we have for daylight savings time. This is always one of my favorite times of the year for several reasons, but that being one of them. So happy Sunday. I hope everybody's getting ready for a nice week ahead. We're going to talk. We have a good show tonight. We're going to have a special guest with us. Her name is Pamela Cuccinelle. She is a certified consulting astrologer who helps people to find the perfect time to make life happen through the tool of astrology. So tonight we'll be talking about astrology, one of my favorite topics, because it is so important to understand that there is such a scientific basis to it. And it's something that people are coming to me more and more interested in, and a lot of my sessions have been focusing on clients' personal astrology. So anyway, we're going to talk a little bit about that with her in just a couple of minutes, so stay tuned. And first, I'd like to talk about the month of November is really a month of gratitude. Thanksgiving also falls in this month, but besides that, it is a time where we're supposed to really give thanks for all that we have and that we're grateful for. And I really feel that this is extremely important to talk about tonight because in light of everything that's been going on lately, it's really easy to get wrapped up in sadness and pain and grief. And every time you turn on the news or you read the newspaper, everything is just horrible. It's sad. It's miserable. And so I think it would be a nice idea if we could try, even for just a week, to really just sit back and instead of turning on the TV every night and watching the news and being led into this state of anxiety and depression that we seem to be undeniable lately, really take the time to just be grateful. Think about the things you have in your life that you're grateful for, that you do feel that, you know, if they were taken away from you, would be terrible. Something that you can control within yourself. So really just try to keep November as a month of gratitude, like it is supposed to be, as difficult as that may be. And, you know, November is the number 11, which is considered a master number in numerology. So it does carry a very high vibration of psychic energy and faith and spirituality. So keep that in mind. And I also want to talk about that we kick off this month with a full moon in Taurus, which just was yesterday. So we are still feeling that energy. And so there's a lot going on. So we're going to talk about this right now, actually. I'm going to bring on my guest. Her name is Pamela. Hi, Pamela.
Hi, Lisa.
And I just want to make sure I said that correctly because I find the way that you work so fascinating because you do really help people to make decisions based on what's going on, even though it is foolproof, but at the same time, there's so much free will involved with it, which is what I always stress. So I'd like to talk about that for a moment, about the free will aspect before we get into this. Do you want to weigh in on that?
Oh, absolutely. It depends. I mean, there are different forms of astrology, and as a Western astrologer, I very much emphasize the free will piece. We're not really a predestination type of people here in the United States. So each one of us comes into the world, point of entry. We're all unique. So when you were born, you're coming in at a specific place and time, and that little point lays out a blueprint that's unique to you. So the full moon or wherever the planets are in the sky interface with that initial blueprint stamp you came in with, and that gives the astrologer all kinds of information about what choices you may make at different points in your life. So yeah, absolutely. Free will is, in the end, it's when you come to an astrologer or to Lisa or anyone who offers guidance, in the end, you, the individual, makes the choice what you're going to do with that information.
Right. So it's really just the energy that we possess, and that from that we make decisions based off our strengths and our so-called challenges that we have.
Right. The more awake and conscious we are that we are making those decisions, the more, you know, do you decide to have coffee in the morning, even though, and you have more than one cup, even though you know that more than one cup may make you a bit edgy if you're a person who has what I call a lot of air in your horoscope. Gemini's, Aquarius's, maybe drinking six cups of coffee isn't a great idea for you. But some people may energetically need more than one cup. So, but right. We make choices based on what's best for us.
I just would like to share that Pamela is, she probably knows me better than most people because she is one of my spiritual advisors. She's my go-to. I think I speak with you probably 3 or 4 times per year because I like to have somebody objective looking at my stuff too. And I really trust you because everything you've ever told me has always resonated with me on a very deep level, not just, you know, psychically, but also spiritually and feeling just what's going on, and then you confirm that and give me even more of that, and it's amazing.
Thank you. Well, I love working with people who take that information and run with it, make it whatever they need it to be.
So real quick, I just wanted to mention that, you know, because scientists have long been battling the legitimacy of astrology. Some will definitely make the place for it and give it a place in our reality. And then others are just still shaking their fist like, no, it's not possible. When in reality, like Stephen Arroyo said in his book, one of my favorites, The Astrology, Psychology, and the Four Elements, mm-hmm. how he talks about basically astrology is just a language of energy. There's no other energetic language that rivals its accuracy when it's interpreted properly. Don't you agree with that?
Oh, yes. He's a wonderful writer and astrologer. And it occurred to me a while back why some astronomers or scientists react so forcibly against astrologers. And that's because when I'm at a party or something and someone isn't listening well and I say what I do, they immediately start talking to me about some astronomical phenomena that was just discovered or talked about in the news. And I'll say, I didn't say I was an astronomer, even though I read that, I am an astrologer.
Right.
And then that same person will sort of find a reason to sort of walk away from me because they don't want to talk to an astrologer. And I can only imagine what it feels like to be Neil deGrasse and have someone start saying, oh, I'm a Pisces. I'm sure he hates that.
I mean, I can't stand that, so I can't imagine, you know.
Right, exactly. So the scientific community reacts in a very strong way, whereas, of course, hundreds of years ago, astrologers and astronomers used to be the same person. But that changed during the, quote, Age of Enlightenment, when everyone sort of veered over in this love of science and basically gave up their spirituality connection to science. And now we see with string theory and a lot of things that have come up in new physics discovery that there is more of an alignment with science and spirituality than
absolutely.
We've basically been thinking about for the past couple of hundred years. So.
You know, with yesterday's full moon in Taurus, I know I just did a blog post about this 2 days ago, and it's, you know, the moon likes to be in Taurus. It's what they say, exalted there, because it's comfortable there.
Yeah.
And I did feel, and I am a Taurus, so typically I would think that this past moon would have had me really, you know, whacked out, but it actually didn't. I mean, I felt more emotional, but I wasn't, usually I don't sleep around the full moons, and I was okay. I was actually sleeping, maybe because Taurus is a kind of a lazier sign. I don't know, but I didn't really have that issue. And I wonder sometimes, and you can shed light on this, the degree of the, because there's 30 degrees per sign, right?
Right.
So this particular moon was at 11 degrees of Taurus. And I know that my natal sun is in Taurus. I'm a Taurus. And that's at 18 degrees. Is there some kind of a correlation with that?
Absolutely. There's two things that I want to say here. First, the moon in the sign of Taurus is exalted because Taurus is an earth sign. It's what we call fixed. It's very steady. It comes in between the season of spring. So it's when spring is at its maximum. So there's a lot of sustaining energy to it. So when the moon is in the sign of Taurus, we actually feel very emotionally grounded. So that's one reason you feel more juice when, full moons can make us feel a little off kilter sometimes. And then the other thing, when you talk about the degrees of the sign, there's 30 degrees in a sign. Taurus, depending on the year, runs from April 19th to May 19th. So you can kind of gauge if you see, okay, this moon is at 11, 12 degrees. I'm born 10, 11 days, 12 days, 18 days into the sign of Taurus. It's kind of close to me. And so if the phenomena, in this case the full moon, is within 10 degrees of your moon sign, your sun sign, or your rising sign, you are going to feel it more because it's basically, in my language, right on a point that's integral to your psychic makeup. So you kind of get even more lit by it. But as I said, since this moon was in the sign of Taurus, you felt even more emotionally grounded because that's what a moon in Taurus gives us.
Interesting. And, you know, I always talk to my clients about how, for example, even just yesterday I had somebody who's in Aries and she was trying to understand why is she not a typical Aries? And we were going through her chart and she's got a Scorpio moon and I believe she was a Libra rising. And so there's always I always talk about the big three because that is such a huge part of who we are on the soul level. And a lot of times those aspects are not, they're definitely not that similar. So it does kind of make us very contradictory at times. And that can be frustrating. I know I experience it and you may remember this off the top of your head, but I'm Gemini rising, so I've got that high energy, but the Taurus piece always wants to keep me on the ground. So I struggle with that. I had a cup of coffee before I did this show tonight, so I'm feeling a little bit jittery myself, but I normally don't do that.
Right. That is a very good point. The sun is self-expression, how we want to shine in this lifetime. And most of us know our sun sign because that's what you see in a typical column. The moon sign changes every 2.5 days. The sun sign changes every 30 days. So the moon sign tells an astrologer more about how that person feels emotionally. The moon is aligned to your emotional body. And the rising sign is your persona, how you appear to the world. So Lisa appears very conversational, radio show, talkative, loves to know what's going on in the community and neighborhood, but that Taurus sun is actually more private, reflective, where it is in your horoscope, so and gives you a lot of grounding in things that do have to do with a more unconscious psychic nature because of where it falls in your horoscope. So it is when we have very disparate energy, we do tend to get better as we get older because it's kind of like you're trying to ride a motorcycle.
Right.
When you're four.
Right. And it's interesting too because I've read and I've also found this to be true, at least for me, that when you're younger you tend to be more of your rising sign, and as you mature, usually past the age of 30, you begin to kind of embody more of your sun sign. I found that true for me because I know when I was younger, I was a lot more extroverted. I like to go out more, whereas now I'm more of kind of reserved and a homebody. So I could see, you know, a lot of, and I'm not as involved in business of the community, like you said, as where I really used to be. So I don't know. It carries true for me. I don't know if that's typical, but I feel that with my own personal chart.
Interesting. It's all we astrologers have different ways we say things, our particular ways we see the world. There are things that you're going to see are absolutely the same in everything we say. I can't help but look at your personal horoscope when you say that to me.
Right.
Because the persona, how we appear to the world, isn't necessarily how we think about ourselves.
Right.
It's just how people see us. And so you can get comfortable with that as your mask, facade, as you get older and know more who you really are. And because do you mind my talking about your horoscope?
Absolutely not. No, you know me. I'm open. I don't mind at all.
Okay, because you do have, there are 12 houses in a horoscope. Each house symbolizes a different area of life. Your sun sign and actually your Mercury, how you communicate, is in the 12th house, which is the house of the unconscious. So oftentimes the planets that fall in someone's 12th house are actually the most powerful parts about them, but they tend to be suppressed when we're children because the adults in the room say, whoa, that's way too big and powerful for an 8-year-old. So they put a lid on it. So we learn to kind of keep that private part to ourselves if we are strong 12th house people. And then as you get older, ideally, you just get more comfortable with that because it is a very strong, powerful part of you, and you want to express it.
Right.
So it does require going back into your well, regenerating, so that then you can go out and do the good work you do with people.
You know, and it's really interesting that you just mentioned the 12th house because, you know, I'm sure you agree with this. It's not a very common, I mean, at least with people that I work with, I don't really see sun in the 12th house that often for some reason. It could just be that those people are not being pulled to me. But lately I've been having 6, 7, 8, 9 people in a row with like 4 or 5 12th house planets. And I find that fascinating because that's not typically something that I've seen. Now, do you feel that you get that a lot? Like things come in succession according to where you are on your own personal journey? Like as I've embraced my 12th house planets and been working with them, I feel that now others are being brought to me by the universe so that I can help them and work with that because I've been through it.
Right, right. Well, that's it. That's absolutely true. And when we work with clients, we often find that, oh my God, you know, this is like
right.
This is where I am on the journey or this is where they're going. So because we can't really help people who we don't really see dimensionally. So I would say yes, that's definitely the universe's way of letting you know, Lisa, you're really getting into your 12th house.
Right. I like the 12th house. I don't mind it. Some people get upset about it, but I've really learned to embrace that energy and work with it.
Yeah. Well, in the old texts, they used to call it the house of undoing.
Right.
And they would say that that's where people who go in institutions end up and all this negative energy around
right.
it. And a lot of that was from the pre-psychological awareness time. And we didn't really understand that what we saw as the house of undoing was where what we would call our complexes lived. And of course, complexes, when you study psychology and really learn to get better self-awarenesses, complexes manifest because they're trying to tell us something about ourselves that we need to look at. So,
and they'll keep repeating themselves until we, accept it. Right.
And once you accept it, you realize, oh yeah, that's a really strong part of myself that I haven't integrated effectively. It's interesting we're talking about this around the full moon because full moons basically are all about integration. On one hand, they're about completing, you know, you come to the apex of a cycle. But in the case of, we've been talking about the Taurus full moon, which is lit by the sun in Scorpio. Scorpio is the sign that has to do with understanding oneself psychologically or very deeply, the really like plumbing the depths. So it really wakes up this awareness of, is this integrated in my body and routine and day-to-day life? Am I happy who I am unconsciously as well as consciously?
And by the way, I have to say, I love Scorpio energy. This time of year for me, I just love it's like that feeling of intensity with Scorpio. I like it. I've always liked it.
Yes, I agree. And when we read about typical astrology or you're trolling around to certain sites, Scorpio is one of those signs that certain people malign a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And part of it is because the Scorpio, people who are very strong Scorpios will say things that make other people like, oh, I didn't really want to look at that
right.
or see that. So when we become more comfortable with that side that is a little darker, it's also out of the dark is where growth happens. I mean, you have to plant a seed in the earth in order for it to come green. So
You know, I just want to go back to the moon for a moment, because the moon does change signs every 2.5 days, and it rules the tides, the emotions, the polarities in our lives, all of that, the full moon, the sun and the moon opposition, all of that. So when the moon changes signs every 2.5 days, it's only natural that you're going to see people's emotions. That's why it's specific times. It doesn't have to necessarily be a full moon, but you'll notice there's a day where people are really kooky, or, you know, just really happy, or you go to work and everyone's tense. Like, there's reasons for that. That's very dependent on where we are at in the moon cycle, correct?
Right, that's correct. And then it's also, for instance, when the moon is in the sign of Scorpio, which will happen in 14 days, because it has passed the moon in Taurus, so Scorpio is the opposite sign, and that will be at the new moon in Scorpio. But when the moon is in Scorpio, at this point in time, 2017, it's going to feel even bigger about that. Let's have a deep, intense conversation, because the planet Jupiter is now in Scorpio. So we can't just look at just the moon and the mood it dictates. We have to look at where are the farther out planets and how are they relating to that moon sign, because that's going to magnify or diminish the energy of that typical sign and how it expresses itself.
So what would you say about for the rest of the month, really, of November? Have you looked that deep into it so far? Like, would you consider the overall energy to be?
Very good question. And it's interesting, when you started the discussion, you were talking about the 11. And the 11 is, it's two ones. So it really emphasizes polarity, which you were also talking about, the divisiveness and how, you know, it's this camp or that camp nowadays. And we really are having an opportunity and a challenge to find ways to mediate and connect instead of this separateness that is happening with all this divisiveness. And with Jupiter in Scorpio now, and Venus moves into Scorpio, and then later in a few weeks beyond, Mars will move into Scorpio. Well, we're really having this emphasis on finding or discovering, because Jupiter magnifies. It's the biggest planet in the solar system, and we call it the Great Benefic, the god of good fortune. And Jupiter, actually, because of its gravitational belt, it sucks up a lot of asteroids that would ordinarily fall into Earth. So Jupiter truly is the planet of good fortune. But in the sign of Scorpio, what it's going to be doing, and we will continue to see this unfold over the next few weeks and actually into the coming year, we're going to be seeing more revelations and information, and how it affects you as an individual person will have a lot to do with where Scorpio falls in your natal horoscope. As I said, there's 12 houses. A lot of times people will say they don't realize, like you said, you love Scorpio, which is great, but some people will say, oh, I don't know anything about Scorpio. But we have all 12 signs somewhere in our horoscope.
Right.
How emphasized they are depends on how it all falls. It's like we're all made of the same DNA.
Right.
It's just, you know, some of us have different ways we look or appear or things we like to do based on how that is emphasized or diminished. So anyway, that's the main thing I see this month, is a lot of things are kind of opening out of the box. And your comfort level with it is going to depend on if that's something you really want to look at.
Right.
So good fortune comes in being able to plumb the depths and really look in the dark spaces.
Right. That's not always comfortable, but,
no.
You know, I actually, that you mentioned that, I did couple of blog posts about Jupiter and Scorpio and how to pull up your own personal birth chart just to see where it Scorpio falls for you as well as Jupiter. So if anybody wants to look at that, you could just go to my website. It's Lisa Salvatore, SalvatoreSalvatore.com. And you can just scroll down a few posts and you'll find that. But also, it's interesting what you're saying because, you know, scientists have already proven that our bodies are made up of the same celestial ingredients as the stars and the planets. So you're right. We do all have a flavor of each sign. It just might not be as prominent as the others.
Right, right. Yes, Carl Sagan said that famously. We are stardust.
Yep. Very true. Very true. And that is something that is always felt. It's interesting. I want to ask you this, actually. Every time the moon enters Virgo, I don't sleep. But I'm not Virgo, but I have several planets in Virgo. I wonder if that's what's doing that to me. Do you have any, can you shed any light? I've always wanted to ask you that, and I always forget to ask you.
Okay, interesting. Okay, so when the moon is in the sign of Virgo, as I look at your horoscope.
Oh my gosh, we're out of time. We're going to have to take that one off the air. But if please feel free, find Pamela at insightoasis.com, www.insightoasis.com, where she will give you insight into your life to make life happen. Have a great month, and I will see you all next month.
Thank you.